Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
You have your Bibles, Genesis 18, as we prepare to break bread together this morning. Genesis chapter 18, I want to read from verse 1. Genesis 18, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, 'If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me give you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant.' 'Very well,' they said, 'do as you say.'" Down to verse 9. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. And then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. They weren't old, they were very old. And Sarah was past age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that every time we open your word, it has the capacity to speak into our lives, into our personal situations today. My prayer today is that faith would be released, that this word would speak to us. It won't be just another word, but that it would be a word that would cause us to put our faith in you, Lord God. Father, let there be nothing in me that hinders this word. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Bind every spirit of fear and intimidation. Just let there be freedom to hear, to speak. And Father, let your word accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. And Father, we do pray for Ellie Giorgio and surgery tomorrow, Lord God. We just pray for her, that the Spirit of God would rest upon her, Father God, that God would give the doctors wisdom and that your perfect will shall be done in her life. Minister healing, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Bless this time together. This is our prayer and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is the final message in a series we've been in, growing through life's tests. In this series, we're looking at some of the tests that God allows us to go through. Just like products are tested before going onto the market, just like students are tested before graduating. In the same way, God allows us to go through tests, a testing process in life that determines who we are, not just who we are, but who we really are. It determines what we really believe, the kind of character that we have, what we really value, what we really think is important, and what is really inside of our hearts. You see, we can think that we believe certain things, or we can think that our faith levels are at a certain level, but it's not until we go through the testing process that what is revealed is what is really inside of our hearts. So far, we've looked at a couple of tests that we all experience in life. One of the tests we will all experience is the darkness test. It's when God doesn't make sense. And that message we looked at a few weeks ago. Last week, we looked at the success test. It's not the test when everything doesn't make sense. It's when everything goes right. How do we handle those times? Because they can be just as detrimental as the other test that we go through. Today, as we prepare to break bread, I want us to look at another test we will all face in life. It's the test of faith. It's the test of belief. It's the test of trust in God. And one of the things we're called to be as Christians is we're called to be people of faith. We are called believers because as Christians, we believe. That God can speak. Can I hear an amen? We believe that God can heal. We believe that God can lead, that God can set us free. We are called believers because we believe that God can intervene in our hearts and lives. The Bible says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In other words, we can see with our natural eyes, but we also see with our spiritual eyes. We see the situations that we face in life with our natural eyes, but we see them also with eyes of faith. We also see them from God's perspective. We don't just see in two dimensions. We see in a third dimension. We also see in the spiritual realm. We look at the situations of life. We live in a natural world, but we also live in a spiritual world. And as Christians, we walk by faith, not just by sight. Faith is so important in our walk with God. So much so that the enemy is going to do everything he can to weaken our faith. If it's something that the enemy is going to attack, it's going to attack our faith. He's going to try and weaken our faith, undermine our faith, question our faith, get us to doubt God. Do you really believe in God? Where is this God that you serve? Where is this God that you believe in? How can a good God allow you to go through what you're going through right now? The enemy is going to do everything he possibly can to weaken our faith. He doesn't care if we come to church. He cares if we come to church with faith. He doesn't care if we read our Bible. Read away. Go and read the Bible as much as you can. He cares if we read our Bible with faith. He cares if we read our Bible and we believe and we pray. Before we open our word, we say, "Oh God, would you speak to me through your word?" We start to read the word with faith. He cares if we read it with faith. He doesn't care if you pray. He doesn't care if you worship. What he cares about is if we do that with faith, believing that God could intervene. As followers of Jesus, we need to know that our faith will be tested. Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is," here's our key word, "tested by fire," your faith, which is more precious than gold, is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is saying that our faith, which is precious, it's more precious than gold, than silver, than diamonds. It's more important, more precious than all of those things. Peter is saying it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. Test of faith is there to prove our trust and obedience to God despite the challenges that we experience in life, despite the delays that we experience in life. When Jesus spoke to the centurion in the Bible, he says he was astonished. This is Jesus. Centurion, a Roman centurion, comes to Jesus and he says, "My servant is sick. Would you come and heal him? Would you heal him?" And Jesus says, "I'll come." And the centurion says to him, "You don't even have to come. Just give the word." He says, "I'm a Roman centurion. I give a word, it happens." And he said, "Just give the word and it shall be done." Jesus, looking at this, he says, the Bible says, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Come on, would you say great faith? Great faith. "I've not seen anyone in Israel." He's surrounded by his disciples and he's saying, "I haven't seen anybody with such great faith." My prayer is that as a church would always be a people of faith, that Jesus would be astonished by our faith. Can I hear an amen? And so to help us unpack this thought, we're going to look at one of the great faith stories in the Bible briefly, and then we're going to break bread together. It's the story of Abraham and the birth of Isaac. God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 12, where the story is recounted. He said, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." It was a promise that was given to Abraham that God would bless him and that he would be blessing to many. In case Abraham misunderstood the promise, God appeared to him again in Genesis 13. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. I will make your offspring, your generations to come, like this, like the dust of the earth. In Genesis 15, took him outside and says, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. Again in Genesis 17, I will make you very fruitful. I'll make your nations from you and kings will come from you. There are times when we feel like God has spoken to us. There are times when we feel like God has given us a promise, but we're not 100% sure. We're not sure if it's a thought that's come out of our own mind. We're not sure if it's the pizza we had the night before. We're not quite sure if it's just something that's kind of stirring in our hearts. But there was no ambiguity about the promise here that God gave Abraham and Sarah. God said to them again and again, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be numerous. God is going to establish a nation through you. The only problem is just a little problem, there were no children. Promise was amazing. They were excited, but no children. Little bit hard to create a nation when there's no children. And day after day passed, month after month, year after year, nothing. Can you imagine the questions going through their mind? Can you imagine the questions going through Abraham's mind? I mean, did God really speak? Was I just imagining? Was it just a dream? Did God really speak to me? Every time when he said, look up at the stars, did that actually happen? Why is God not answering? Has God forgotten us? I mean, did he get busy and forget the promise he gave us? What's going on? Sure, we've all gone through those kind of experience and asked those kind of questions. Yes? Okay. Question is, how do we handle the times when our faith in God is tested? How do we handle the times in our life when our faith in God is tested? Do we trust God or do we wait for God? Do we trust that God is going to answer or do we take matters into our own hands? Well, many do exactly what Abraham and Sarah did, which is what they did. We try and work it out ourselves. We try to help God. And we know that Sarah gives her servant to Abraham. And as a result, Ishmael was born. Just in case Abraham and Sarah thought that God was in this, God says, Ishmael is not the promise. It's really interesting. Anybody here ever tried to help out God? I know, I usually try and give God some help. You know, God must have forgotten. He's probably busy. That's what it is. He's got too many things on his agenda. Let me help God out so that this thing becomes a reality. So many of us settle for an Ishmael when God has an Isaac in store. So many of us settle for mediocrity, small plans when God has incredible plans for our life. When faced with the option to trust God or not, Proverbs says, listen to this scripture, it's kind of a life verse. It needs to be memorized so that it comes deep inside of us. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I love how honest Proverbs actually is. As Solomon, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, trust in God. So Abraham and Sarah are now old. They're in their 90s. She's past her childbearing age. In the natural, she's unable to have children. And so the promise seems to be dead. And that brings us into our text. One day, Abraham is sitting near the tent and he sees three men coming towards him. Bible tells us really clearly who those three men are. The Lord appeared to Abraham. This is God. It's a theophany. It's God appearing as a man, and he's sitting there. And instantly, Abraham perceives. He knows that this was not just three guys passing by. Abraham perceives that these men were God, divine in some way. He knew this was a heavenly visitation. He knew this was the Lord. Notice what the text says. He says, Abraham looked up and saw these men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bows down to the ground. And he says, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. He runs into Sarah and he says to Sarah, we got visitors. Get some food ready. She looks at him a little funny. Abraham gets a calf. He prepares it for them. And while they're eating, they ask the question, where's Sarah? Abraham says she's in the tent. This is really interesting because the Lord is there with them. God himself is present amongst them. God himself is visiting and Sarah is in her tent. Sarah's completely oblivious to what's happening outside. Sarah's a lot like many of us. When she first heard the promise, her heart was excited, but now she's given up. She's lost hope. When she first heard the promise that one day she'd be the mother of a great nation, that generations and kings would come from her, she was excited, but now that promise is long gone. She's spiritually at a stage in her life where she's heard it all before. She's heard the hype. Her faith has become routine, monotonous. She's at such a low point in her life spiritually. Listen carefully. That God is visiting, that God is outside of her tent. God is just outside and she's in her tent. She's in her tent, completely oblivious. And so many of us are like Sarah. Many years ago, our faith was really strong. But now it's gone cold. Years ago, we believed that God could speak. Years ago, we believed that God could move, that God could do something great with our lives, with the church. But now we've kind of lost hope. Our faith has deteriorated so much, has become so predictable and so monotonous. God is in the house, and we don't even know it. We're not moved by it. I want you to know something today. If you feel like Sarah today, if you feel that spiritually you're tired, you're weak, you don't have the energy to get up anymore, to believe again, circumstances of life have beaten you up again and again to the point where it's just easier to settle for mediocrity. It's just easier to settle for routine. If that's you today, I want you to know that God has a word for you. If you've been beaten up by life, by the circumstances of life, and you're just exhausted, I want you to know that God has a word for you, that God has not forgotten you, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. What he has said, he shall do. What he has promised shall come to pass. Verse 10 says, then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. I want us to get a hold of this promise today. Whatever it is you're going through, that your life could be different, whether it's in a day, a week, or a month, I want you to believe that you could get a word from God. So often we talk about faith and the substance of faith, and we don't fully understand what faith actually is. We think, do I need to work it up? Do I need to, you know, I don't know, kind of, you know, I don't know, psych myself up in faith. No, that's not what you need to do. Where does faith come from? The Bible says, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I want us to believe if our faith has become dry and weak, I want to pray and believe that we would get a word of God. That the promise that God gave you could be fulfilled. That your marriage could be different. Family could be restored. Body could be healed. That God could turn everything around. We serve a God that can turn our lives around. Can I hear an amen? What I love about the Bible and what I love about Sarah is that it's brutally honest. After having this incredible news, Sarah doesn't start singing. When God says, by this time next year you're going to have a child, Sarah doesn't start singing. She doesn't start singing, I've got joy like a river, I've got joy, no. Put on the garment of praise. Many people remember put on the garment of praise. Put on the gun. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that Sarah started to laugh. She thought to herself, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I have this pleasure? There's a great confession of faith, isn't it? Right there. Wow. Poof. Someone who's passing the test of faith with flying colors. Not. She says, you've got to be joking. For too many of us, we've become a bit like Sarah. Sarah represents the cynical part, the rational part, the part with low expectations. Some people say, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. No, you're not, you're a pessimist. The reality is we all have to deal with the reality is there's a Sarah inside all of us. There are seasons of Sarah inside all of us. And I pray this morning that God would shake something in our lives. I pray this morning that God would move something in our hearts, that God would move something in our lives. I pray that that God would begin to stir faith in our hearts, that we would begin to believe again, that we would press into God, that we would seek God, that we would draw nearer to God, that we would believe that God could come with His glory, that God would speak to us, that whatever it is we're going through, whatever circumstances we're in right now, that God would come and that God would speak a word into our lives. What we need in the storm is a word. In the past, when I've been through difficult times, I usually tell God what to do. I usually tell God what to do. I usually come with my list and I start to say to God, well, this is what I need from you and here it is. And here's what you need to do. How many people are like me? It's natural. It's what you do when you're going through a tough time. You go into you bring your list. It's what you do. Nothing wrong with any of that. We're encouraged to present our needs to God. The Bible says, "Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive." Because if you don't ask, you don't receive. So there's nothing wrong with any of that. But as I've gotten older, more than telling God what to do, I just want God to be present. Notice what Abraham says. This is the phrase that kind of caught me as I was reading the text. It's the phrase that kind of caught my attention. It says, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Abraham knew that if God was present, something would happen. Notice Abraham doesn't start going, ah, God is here. Hello, God, how are you? It's been a while since we've chatted. Do you remember the promise? You remember that promise you gave me and Sarah? Do you remember the promise in chapter 13 and then 15? Hello, God, what happened? You're a little bit late. Notice there's none of that in Abraham. The first thing Abraham does is he bows down to God. And the next we see, if I found favor in your eyes, this is the first words to come out of his mouth. If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. What we need more than ever, especially when we're going through the tough times, what we need more than ever is the presence of God. Don't pass us by. Stay here for a little while. Because in the presence of God, God begins to move. There's just something about the presence of God. I'm reading at the moment through Chronicles, they built the temple and then they dedicated the temple to the Lord. The Bible says the glory of the Lord fell on the temple and the glory was so thick, the priests couldn't even do their work. They were bowed down to the ground. What we need more than ever is the glory of God. Can I hear an amen? What we need more than ever is the presence of God. Because when God is present, He begins to speak, He begins to heal, He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I love Abraham. Just come and stay here for a while. Have a drink, have something to eat. Let me wash your feet. Just stay here for a while. Text continues and says, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? And then God asked Sarah a question. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You read throughout the scriptures and you will see that God often asked people questions. To Adam and Eve, He asked, where are you? To Moses, what's in your hands? to Hagar, Sarah's servant, where did you come from and where are you going? To Isaiah, he asked, whom shall I send? Why did God ask Sarah, is anything too hard for me? Was it because God needed the information? Needed to know the answer? Maybe God wasn't sure if something was too hard for him or not, so he just wanted to ask Sarah. You know what I'm saying? Sarah, is anything too hard for me? Because I'm not really sure. I don't know. Could you? Yeah, maybe you could teach me. Whenever God asked a question, it was always for the benefit of the person he was asking. And the purpose of the question was to get her to think, to reveal truth. And what God was saying to Sarah was, do you think anything is too hard for me? Do you think my arm's too short? Do you think I'm powerless? And God is asking us that question today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I wonder where our faith is today. Wonder what the level of faith is today in our hearts and lives. Bible says now faith is the confidence of in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. I can't see it, but I know that God is going to speak. This is what the ancients were commended for. What were they commended for? Were they commended for their money? Were they commended for their... No, they weren't commended for their intelligence or their wealth. They were commended for their faith. They chose to believe God even when everything didn't seem to be going like they thought it should. Now, here's the deal when it comes to faith. The moment we start speaking about faith, questions start coming into our mind. What if I pray and God doesn't answer? What if God doesn't hear? What if nothing changes? Because we're afraid to step out in faith, we settle for a rational, manageable, manicured, safe faith. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. That's exactly what the enemy wants. I don't care how big the church is. What he cares about is how much faith is in the church. He doesn't care what you call yourself. He cares about how much faith there is there. Danger is we end up sitting in the tent and God shows up and we're not even moved. We've lowered our expectations so low that God shows up and we're sitting in our tent. Now, I don't understand everything there is to know about faith. I know there are some people who know everything about faith. Read their books. I don't know everything there is to know about faith, but I know that God always responds to an atmosphere of faith. Where there is faith, God begins to move. Where there's faith, God begins to speak. Where there's faith, God begins to move. Where there is no faith, it's like God's hands are tied up. For the church to be the church, we must always cultivate an atmosphere of faith. Because in an atmosphere of faith, God begins to do something. God is asking us the question, is anything too hard for me? I believe God wants to do something with this church. Come on, I believe that God wants to do something here. Here's what I believe. Come on, church. I don't believe God has brought us this far just to bring us this far. I believe that God hasn't just brought us from the ends of the earth, you know, from different countries all over the world and brought us here just to bring us here. Could have gone anywhere else. Could have done anything else. Could have played it safe and stayed home. I believe God has brought us here for a reason. I want to pray and believe that this is going to be a new era in the life of our church. That God wants to do something new in our church. That God wants to bless. That God wants us to experience a visitation of the glory of God. You know, as a pastor, you know, every pastor, they won't say this, you know, but every pastor wants the church to grow. You know, and I thank God that God has blessed us as a church. It's the grace of God. That's all it is. It's the grace of God. God has blessed us. And you know, today we've got a full congregation. We've got more people next. We've just had another. God is, thank God. We do want the church to grow. Every seat represents a person that's coming into the kingdom of God. That's what we want. We want to believe for that. But more than all of that, what I want to believe for is the glory of God. More than all of that, I want to believe for the glory of God. Because where the glory of the Lord is, God begins to move. Reading about the book of Acts, and book of Acts is amazing. You know, in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and they began to speak in tongues and other languages, and it's just powerful. And chapter 3, there's miracles happening and the church is moving, but then there's some opposition. Peter is thrown into prison and the church is at home. What did the church do? The church is praying. And the Bible says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I wonder what that looked like. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's what I want to pray for. It's what I want to believe for in the name of Jesus. And God is still asking the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the obvious answer to that question is there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Two quick lessons we learn from the story. Number one, God is faithful, so be patient. God is faithful, so wait on God. Don't take matters into your own hands. God is faithful. Wait on God. Of course, we live in an instant age. Everything's got to be fast, 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 fast. And so often we bring that into the presence of God. Lord, you need to heal now, open now, fix now, speak now, move now. How many people know God's not moved by our tantrums? We're like the two-year-old in the supermarket. I want this. I never did that. I was a good child. Ask my mother. She'll tell you it's not the case at all. we're like the little kid in the supermarket. I want this now. God's not moved by our tantrums. God is never early. He's never late. He's always on time. And Abraham teaches us that God is faithful even if he doesn't move with our timetable. And if you follow Abraham, you kind of see that as he got older, something happened in his faith. Something changed. Because the Bible says this in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful. Something changed. I think the experience with the servant changed something in him. Bible says he was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. God is faithful, so wait on God. What he's promised shall come to pass. What he has said he's going to do. He's faithful to his word. He doesn't say one thing in his word and do something completely different. Come on, he's going to see he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. One of the great revelations that we can have in our walk with God is that God is faithful. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and shall be forevermore in the name of Jesus. We can't control what anybody else is doing. What we can control is ourselves. We can't control how anybody else is praying. We can control how we pray. And we can choose to either stay in the tent or we can choose to open our eyes, get out of the tent, because God is in this place. And I'm going to believe. You've heard me say many times, faith is not the absence of doubt. It's choosing to believe despite the doubt. Faith is not understanding everything there is to know about God. Faith is believing even though I don't fully understand everything there is to know about God. But I choose to put my faith in God. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe in the name of Jesus. I'm going to believe that God is with me. I'm going to believe that my future is in his hands. I'm going to believe that no matter what's happening right now, and that's not the end of my life, that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I'm going to believe that God is going to see me through. I believe that God is going to give me wisdom. I'm going to believe that God is going to speak when I'm in the worst of the worst, of the bottom of the bottom, in the darkest of the darkest, that even there God can give me a word. I'm going to believe for that in Jesus' name. And I'm going to choose to wait on God. I'm going to resist the temptation to take matters into my own hands. I love the story about David. David is in the tent. David is in the cave. Solomon comes in a little bit closer. It's David and his mighty men. They're in the cave. Solomon comes into the same cave to do some business. And the men say to David, here's the word of the Lord, that here it is. This is your chance to chuck a spear through him and you'll be king. David knows that it's wrong. And he refuses to do it. He just cuts the hem of his garment and he's grief-stricken. He refuses to take matters into his own hands. Let God do what he's going to do. Just wait on God. Wait on God. I'm going to believe in the name of Jesus. I'm going to believe. I'm going to find a place. The Bible says, you know, when you pray, Jesus said, when you pray, find a place, find a time, close the door, get rid of distractions, throw your phone in the bin, get rid of it, put it in another room. Just you and God. And talk to God. Because what I want more than anything else is Him. He's a faithful God. Number two, put your hope in God. God is faithful, so hope in God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. And so had been, so just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Being fully persuaded that he had the power to do what he had promised. When I visit the older Italians here in the congregation, wish I had more time, do it more often. It's amazing. It's beautiful. They're beautiful people. If you need olive oil, visit the right person, you get olive oil. When I visit them, it's usually because there's a bit of a situation and as in they're not doing well or something. I always want to keep the visit short. You know, I want to encourage them, pray with them, hear the story, and then quietly leave. How many people, you know, you need a lot of faith to pull that off? You just need a lot of faith. I got to pray before. It's just, yeah. Inevitably, when I say I need to go, they say, what? You just got here. It's been an hour already. And you're going to go? No, you need to stay. And then whatever you do, never visit around lunchtime. You're finished. Forget the rest of the day. You're gone. Oh, we're going to have something to eat. Make a coffee. You try and say no to that. Abram's going about his daily business, sitting in his tent, and his three men show up. Abraham knows this is God. And he says to them, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Don't just keep on moving. Don't go. Stay here for a while. Spend some time with us. Have a drink of water. Have something to eat. Just stay for a bit. Abraham could have easily gone into a rant and a rave. He doesn't. First words out of his mouth, he says, stay here for a bit. Abraham knew that if God was present, something would happen. Today, as we prepare to break bread, let's invite the Holy Spirit to... Holy Spirit is already here. Jesus is here. He's here. He's here by Spirit. He's here. And we just want to just stay. Stay. We need you. Just stay. Just stay here for a bit. Just have something to eat. We want to break bread together. The good news is that God wants to spend time with us. We want to pray, if I found favor in your eyes, do not pass us by. Come and spend some time with us. Come and speak, because some of us need a word from you. Come and heal. Come and do what only you can do. Come and touch us, because we don't know what else to do. We can either approach communion like Sarah, stay in our tent. Nothing in my life's going to change. Everything will be the same. It's It's what the enemy wants. Or we can approach communion with faith. Habakkuk said, I've heard of all about you. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. This time of our deep need, help us again, as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I pray that God would minister to each and every one of us. I pray that we would sense the presence of God. And that in the midst of the presence of God, that God would speak a word that would release faith and that would change our lives and our circumstances by His grace and for His glory. I want you to stand with me. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your presence. I just pray, Father, that this word would come alive in our hearts, that every day we would stir faith in our hearts, draw nearer to you, and that in the midst of faith, God, you'd begin to speak and guide and lead and direct. I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come out of this service, because we dare to believe because of what you're doing in and through our lives. We love you so much, Lord God. Be glorified and exalted, we pray. Use us this week as we leave this place. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.